All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Holiday time is zero downtime at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has the season's best savings. Lease a 2018 CTS for just $399 a month with zero down. Yes, a CTS, $399, zero down. Now's your last chance to get these clearance prices, Ira. Last chance, rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or first visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. Dealer has all the details. And over at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All, Ira, all of their certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. That's edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon is also right there for you on Causeway Boulevard. See the dealer for all the details. Ira, you just heard all those Ed Morse offers. Your podcast proudly presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. This is the time. It's almost like early Black Friday and Christmas shopping and amazing deal shopping all rolled into one. Time to get a Cadillac.
That's a better bargain lead than seeing Gruden prowling the NFL sidelines again. That's a sight to see at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Look, you've been talking all year about these deals. I keep waiting for them to run out, and you keep coming up with new deals that are even more enticing, Steve. Are you eventually going to run out of deals with these two dealerships?
Hey, they're not my deals, but get to edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Everybody can check them out for themselves, Ira. Now, of course, I'm Steve Isbitz, your cohort here from joebucksfan.com. Lee DeCamper is with us. We all have a microphone today, so that's a blessing since we had a little last-second outage last time. Turned out to be the microphone, Ira, not the cord. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, these are all the places where you can subscribe and get a free alert for the podcast. It's all free, of course, or just listen on joebucksfan.com. You have your admirers, Ira. They love you, and they are excited to hear what you have to say because – you know, we were in the Bucks locker room today, and we're going to get to the Bucks locker room. But you know what? You've been all over the nation. Washington Post is writing you up. NBC Sports. You're on television Tuesday. Mike Florio. You were on
the
with
Mad Dog.
That's right. We're recording Wednesday. Wednesday evening, of course, you're on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio with Chris Russo. You know, you got a lot of traction with your comments about John Gruden and coming back to coaching on NBC Sports Radio on Tuesday morning. Ira, what did you not say? What do you want to say about the way it was covered, your remarks? And you know, give the people here on your podcast the deeper look at this whole Gruden situation.
What I want our listeners to know, Steve, above all, is that I'm approaching this like I approach the Hall of Fame presentation room. In other words, I take it very seriously. And I do my research and I do my due diligence. And Steve, without naming names and going into great detail of who I'm talking to, let's just say I am talking to people, in the words of Robert Mueller, the special counsel, people of special interest, people of interest, people who are not speculating, people who know what is going on in and around the workings of Mr. Jonathan Gruden, who's now 54 years old. By the way, we remember how young he was when the Bucks won the Super Bowl. He's now 54. So here's the information as current as I can give it to our listeners. It is November, so there are Gruden rumors. We all know that. The University of Tennessee people are still holding out hope we can get John Gruden to Tennessee. I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen. We went through this with the University of Miami, Southern Cal, blah, blah, blah. It's never going to happen. He's not going to college. He doesn't want to hit the recruiting trail, Steve. He's got a great job. But there are various factors that are coming together. I would call this, to Kemper, a confluence of factors. How do you like that?
You mean like the Allegheny and the Monongahela?
The Allegheny. And I'll rattle a few of them off, Steve. One, he's not enjoying his job as much as he used to. He's not. Two, I dare say, I don't think ESPN would shed that many tears if he left because they're shedding salary right now. He's the highest paid guy, $5 million, $6 million, $7 million. That's the ballpark. And as good as he is, you know, and a lot of people love him and some don't. He's got his detractors too. That's a lot of money from an ESPN standpoint. They don't have a natural successor maybe, but back to my main point. He's not having as much fun. He had a tremendous chemistry with Mike Tirico. That is a fact. I am a witness to it because last year he got in the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. They had an event here in Tampa. I got myself invited, which I'm good at. Free food, you know, Riesling, beet salad. And I was there that night, and I was sitting at Gruden's table with his wife. And who's there? Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico, gentlemen, had already bolted Monday Night Football. He was already with NBC, looking ahead to the Olympics and whatever, maybe more money they gave him. Tirico is a towering figure in this business. He's awfully, awfully
towering. Strong. That's awful. That's huge.
Strong. That's strong. Yeah. But as far as Gruden's concerned, he was the man. And they're friends, you know, and it meant the world to Gruden that Tirico showed up, you know, on his own dime. You think he lives in Michigan. Mm-hmm. He doesn't live in Ocala. And he came in from Michigan, and it meant a lot to Gruden. And it showed another sign of respect between Gruden and Tirico. So, look, I'm not trying to knock Sean McDonough. He's got big shoes to fill. But Gruden is not enjoying the job as much. That's a key factor. He's getting a lot of money. But for him to go through that grind, like he's got to get a plane, get on a plane and go to Seattle Saturday. Now, take it easy, DeKemper. Let me finish. You got other factors. Just from the Bucs standpoint, I think he's a fan of Jameis Winston. I think he feels he can win with Jameis Winston. And there's several check boxes that have to be, you know, applied before Gruden's going to come back to the NFL. He's not desperate. He's got options. And the best option, you can either stay at ESPN, you can retire, God knows he's got enough money, mm-hmm. Or you can try to get back onto the NFL sidelines. What does he want? He wants good ownership. He wants a stable organization. He wants a team that's almost ready to win. A quarterback that he likes. And a city that he likes. That's a lot. Not a lot of franchises will check off those boxes.
Sure.
I believe Tampa does. He has mended some fences with the Glazers. We don't have to go any further than the Ring of Honor next month. It means a lot to Gruden. He's back in the facility. He didn't show up here for years. He did a couple of Monday night games, and you had to lead him kicking and screaming to one Buck place. He didn't want to come around here. Let's not kid ourselves or our listeners. There were very bad feelings from a Gruden standpoint towards ownership when it happened at the end of 08. How could there not be? He didn't expect to be fired. Two straight 9-7s. One of those 9-7s was a playoff year. 9-3, the final year before Monty Kiffin, in Gruden's eyes at least, short-circuited the whole thing. It's on Kiffin. Defense stunk. And you know what? To be fair, I look back at the offense in that final month of December. The offense was pretty darn good. They had one turkey, I think, against Atlanta. But the other three games, including that Monday nighter in Charlotte, which started the downfall, they scored 24 points, and Antonio Bryant went crazy. That
wonderful catch, yeah.
But they couldn't stop there. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, Steve, and this is my abridged version. After going through this, Steve, every year for the last 8-9 years, at this time of year, I have dismissed it in the past. He's not leaving. He's happy. He's making a lot of money. This one feels different. And after talking to people of interest that count, that has done nothing to swerve my opinion. This one feels different. I feel he's open for suggestions, for hirings. Doesn't have to be Tampa. It could be someplace else. But if it happens, I think Tampa's the likely spot.
Whoa.
This one feels different.
Couple of things, Ira.
There's going to be a couple of things.
Let me just say two things just to clarify for the good folks. I think it's important to say that when you say the current information, your latest, based on your people of interest and your special counsel.
That includes today.
Not just Monday. So that includes Wednesday. You're further diving into this situation as an old school hardcore journalist. So let me throw that out there.
And the facts are hard to come by. People don't want to talk. It's sensitive.
Well, they seem to be talking to you, Ira. They seem to be talking to you. They're giving me enough. This has been a very busy week for this information for you. Let me say you also added on NBC Sports Radio that he wants to coach with Deuce Gruden. I
think that's a big factor.
His oldest son, who's a assistant strength coach with the Redskins. And, you know, you got to think, hey, a chance to work with your kid.
Is Jay Gruden going to stand in his way and say, you can't have this kid? Of course not. This is his brother.
So I thought that's a neat little wrinkle.
I think it is.
And, you know, there's the ESPN thing I think is interesting, and I wanted to ask you one question before Lee hits on that.
There are big shakings going on at ESPN.
Oh, yeah, the clown that's responsible for ESPN hemorrhaging subscribers and money just got re-upped. Only in the media.
And the shake-up has not gone unnoticed by Mr. John Gruden.
Only in the media can a guy fail at his job and get re-upped.
And, you know, it's also ESPN is its perception in the realm has changed quite a bit for the negative. A lot of negative feelings about ESPN out there, and maybe Gruden doesn't like that. You know,
I believe they're about to dismiss another 100 bodies.
More than 100, but you're right.
And some of them are going to be high profile.
I got to ask you this, though, about the ESPN thing. We've all seen the success of Tony Romo, and some people like him, some people don't, but he's had a lot of success stepping into this job. Do you think Romo's success, and that everybody's talking about Romo this year versus John Gruden, as an announcer, do you think that that's in the back of Gruden's mind in the sense of, hey, you know, maybe ESPN thinks they could replace me in a heartbeat with an ex-player for a couple $1 million and look at Romo and I'm the second banana now on these night broadcasts? Do you think that's there at all?
It's an interesting angle, Lee, but I think ultimately what trumps it by far is he's not having as much fun for those 3 hours in that booth. That's the payoff. The 3 hours that he gets to talk, it's the culmination of all the preparation. Nobody does more preparation than Gruden. I can vouch for that. I've been in his office. Mm-hmm. To try to get a word out of him is very, very difficult. His eyes never leave the screen. It's a dark room, and he's looking at a small screen, and he's breaking things down. He might chart how many times the water boy comes out there. He looks at it like it's a game, and that's how he prepares for it.
To further Steve's point, and obviously, you have to admit, Gruden loves the attention he's getting. Even if he had zero interest in coming back, loves the attention. He's stirring the pot. Everybody's talking about him. But to further Steve's point, Monday Night Football is not the brand it once was. I mean, when you have slop like you had last night, and that's more the norm than the outlier, whereas Romo's getting pick-of-the-litter games every week, that could be a factor. You say he's not having fun? Who the hell would have fun going to watch the Dolphins and the Panthers?
Fair point.
Now here's my two elements that I had that you brought up. It's sort of getting off track, but I'm not trying to get off track here. Mike Tirico is a towering figure. I mean, towering figure.
NBC just spent a ton of money to lure him away from ESPN.
But that's towering. Al Michaels is towering. Jim Nance is towering.
He's going to be the Olympic host sooner than later.
That shows you what I think of the Olympics.
It's I know. But from a network standpoint, sure, the Olympics are important.
Okay, when you said towering,
I think Tirico's great at what he does.
He's very good. I miss him on college basketball games and college football games. He's excellent in Monday Night Football.
Towering might be stretched.
I was going to say towering. I think of Walter Cronkite as towering. You know? Mike Tirico. At any rate, you mentioned Gruden, and it's a factor in him having a dalliance about coming back or not. The grind of traveling. And I'm like, whoa. Let's hit the brakes. No one wants to fly. Like you said, it's a whole day deal flying to Seattle. I get that. But coaching in the NFL, as he should know better than anyone, it's a 90-hour work week. You're talking grind. I mean, wait a minute. You're getting paid $6.5 million, and oh, my gosh, I got to fly today to Seattle.
But in Gruden's world, that's 6 hours wasted on Saturday and 6 hours wasted on Tuesday coming back. Wasted hours.
Well, wasted as in he can't get behind his screen and break down film? Yeah, he can.
I think so. Can't be on the golf course.
He can't be on the golf course. Look, he's going to be on the golf course if he's coaching in the NFL?
Well, I think the work level thought is we just don't know how much he's working right now. We don't know if he's putting in an 80-hour week now because he can't help himself. I don't think his work ethic ever wavers.
I don't think it ever
I think
wavers.
That's likely.
I mean, we just don't know. We don't know. He was talking with Rich
Eisen.
But
there's no pressure in that. I mean, he's breaking down film for who?
Right, there's himself. No pressure, but from you know, himself. But yeah. You don't know what's in his head. You know, what I thought was interesting when he was on with Rich Eisen last Friday, Gruden talked about how much he's expanded his compound, his lair, as you call it, Ira, that you go to and visit, that it includes multiple film rooms. He's got sleeping quarters there.
He's got visitors coming in every week.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's sort of built himself a football fortress, which to me, makes me wonder, well, has he been bringing guys in and saying, hey, get in a room, look at film for 2 hours, we'll come out and talk about it? Has he been scouting coaches for the last 3 years, or is that part of, you know?
It could be some recruiting going on in there.
Who knows? Who knows? Let me say this. You said this, Ira. You said Gruden options. He'll always have options, and, you know, with coaching. And yeah, the Bucks. You really think this is an option for him? I mean, the fans, we did a poll Wednesday, the weekly Dirk Cutter confidence poll. It's up to 50% now. He bounced back from last week. 50% of the fans
probably going to be a week-to-week poll.
Sure.
Yeah.
50% of the fans are confident in Cutter. We know that it's never good for a quarterback to have different coordinators, and I don't even know if Chucky's offense is necessarily a fit for Jameis. That's a whole another thing to explore. But you know, I don't think he'll ever have a better option than in Tampa. I mean, I understand he could go coach the Giants maybe, but the media would clobber him up there.
By option, Steve, I think you're misinterpreting me. I meant he could retire. He could stay at ESPN. He's not desperate. That's what I meant
Steve,
by option.
Gotcha. Steve's getting on, I think, and we don't know if Cutter's – we don't know if there's going to be opening here or
That's
not,
right.
number one.
That's
number
right.
two, it's pretty darn clear he's going to be opening with the Giants. You could make an argument there could be an opening with the Cowboys.
Chicago could be, yeah.
Yeah, Chicago could be another one. So, and that leads me to my next question. And people are really glossing over this, I think. What do you think is going through Cutter's head? Cutter's still employed. And he turns, you know, he opens up his computer and he goes wherever he goes. And we know where he goes for news. And there it is, all over the place. Michael Lombardi, oh, it's a done deal. Cutter's gone.
Jason Chuck Lock and Fora.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even an opening yet, and people are talking like it's almost a done deal. Gruden's going to be coaching the Bucks. From Cutter's perspective, are you beyond yourself?
That's a million-dollar question. And, Steve, I'll go a step further. Tell me if I'm being a stretch in this. But, you know, if Cutter's talking to the Glazers, which I think they talk to him every week. They talk to Jason Light every week. And Cutter's trying to get some sense of where he stands, and I don't think he's getting it from the Glazers at this point because I'm not sure they know. You know, they haven't come out with a vote of confidence. They don't do that.
They don't do that.
But they haven't. And some franchises do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going anywhere. Cutter's going to be our coach in 2018. Other teams have done that in this type of scenario when the rumors start to swirl about their head coach. They don't do that. The Glazers don't do that traditionally.
Right, but who the hell does that on a 5-game losing streak
with a
season ago?
What are they telling Cutter in private? What are they telling him? Are they being wishy-washy? Mm-hmm. And that's certainly not going to help Dirk Cutter's confidence.
Well, there's also, and I think you and I talked about this individually, Ira, that, you know, if Jameis broke an ankle, third game of the season, he's lost for 2 months. Like, okay, lost season. No one's suggesting Cutter.
That's right.
Jameis has been hurt. Here we are. Jameis has been hurt. I am not yet believing Cutter is that on dangerous ground. He just got off a winning season. First winning season they had in 6 years.
I'll have something to say from a locker room perspective about that later on, Steve, about that very point.
Here's another Cutter issue. And I love Dirk Cutter. If he listens to this, it's not anti-you at all, Dirk.
If Cutter is nothing if not honest,
and I guess you could say headstrong, and that's not always a bad thing. All this Chucky rumors, you think after the season, Cutter goes up to the Glazers, like, you know what? I got a sense you're not supporting me. I'm out of here. I'm resigning.
Well, not too many NFL head coaches resign, Lee, when they don't have to. I think Cutter's hurt by it, but he's got to remember he's not the first and he ain't going to be the last coach that suffers these Chucky rumors. It happens every year. Cutter's off to a terrible start this season. They're 3-6 for a reason because they're getting blown out, especially on the road. Not competitive. And I think the biggest thing, Steve.
He's jotting us down.
He's jotting it down. Steve, the biggest thing that is working against Cutter, and facts are facts, gentlemen, the biggest thing that's working against Cutter.
Number three?
The high expectations coming into the season.
Yeah.
The 9-7 set the stage with the hard knocks. And we all believed it. You know,
There's no reason not to.
We thought this team was good enough to win 10 games. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they're 2-6. There's got to be consequences. Even if he comes back, Steve, there's got to be changes around here. Has to be.
That's awfully harsh and early. Yes, there's a few things here that are out of whack, man. Ira, I'm going crazy. I ran out of ink over here. All right, look, you just said Cutter's hurt by it. I don't think Cutter is hurt for 1 second about this chatter. If the Glazers had a brain in their heads,
And
if Cutter had a brain in his head, he knew when he got the job, the day he took the job, that the Gruden rumors would come out every single year. So he knew that going in. He knows the NFL. He's not some kid off the street.
He's only had a bad half year. Is that what it's down to now? Well, you can only have a bad half season.
Yeah, but with a hurt quarterback
and a
hurricane.
Cutter understands the rumor mill. He understands. I don't think he's hurt by any of this. I'm sure the Glazers talked to him and said, Dirk, this is your job. Don't listen to the outside noise, but you know very well that you lose 10 in a row, 11 in a row, things change in a hurry in this league. You just got to do what you're doing, and I'm sure everything will be all right. What are they going to tell him? You know, no owner says to a coach, hey, you know, you go 2-14, don't worry, you got a job next year. Just John Lynch. That's the only situation in this league where they do that. So, especially coming off 9-7. So, Dirk knows the deal. I don't think he's hurt. I don't buy it. I think the Glazers probably just told it to him straight. Dirk, it's your job, but if you don't win at all, if this thing runs out of control.
Let's see what happens the second half
of
the season.
Yeah, we'll talk to you at the end of the year. I don't think that's unreasonable even whatsoever. But as far as expectations, I agree with you, Ira, but expectations change. Going to what Lee said, your quarterback gets hurt, ownership expectations change. So what are they changing to? That we don't know. Are they just looking for Dirk to, you know, go 3-5 in the second half of the season without Jameis and pull the team together and, okay, we go on from there? I don't know.
Are you two gentlemen trying to suggest that the bulk of the 2-6 start was due to Jameis Winston's injury? Is that what you're trying is that what you're trying to pull on your listeners here?
There were a couple
that is nonsense.
There were a couple of games you could say that he was not 100%, and that, and when a guy like Jameis, your quarterback, not a cornerback, not a fullback, a quarterback, starting quarterback, a stud young quarterback, when he's not playing 100% and it's his throwing shoulder, that's going to limit you.
What about week 2 in Minnesota?
I understand.
Winston's 100%, you got blown out, you were embarrassed, humiliation. You're going to pin that on a hangnail by Jameis Winston?
I just said a couple games.
This team's underperformed, Isbitz.
I don't pin the 2-6 on Jameis's shoulder, but look, Jason Light was on with Gene Deckerhoff last Sunday, and you know, our media brethren at the Times, they misheard everything that Jason said, in my opinion. But one thing Jason did make very clear is that Jameis was playing through a ton of pain, an extraordinary amount of pain, and that he's got must have one of the highest pain tolerances around. Now, the Glazers know the situation, and even if Jameis was okay, you have to start to wonder against Buffalo. Okay, he played very well.
That's to say, he played balls out against Buffalo, mm-hmm.
Right,
they lose the game.
Right, but if they knew he was playing through a lot of pain, then the question is how much better would he have played even if he was feeling better. But if we take the excuses out of it, no, you can hang the 2-6 on the coaching staff.
How much are the Bucks paying you for this podcast?
No, no, I just said you can hang the 2-6 on the coaching staff.
I want a little more juice out of you, Isbitz.
Oh,
I just said you can hang it on the coaches.
They got no running game. They can't stop the run. The offensive line can't run block. Whoa, what's going on?
Look, you can hang the 2-6 on the coaches. You can hang at least one of those losses on Jason Light.
Javier's listening to this, Isbitz. You're going to have to answer to Javier.
You can hang at least one loss on Jason Light.
But outlaw.
On Jason Light and the kicking debacle. Can we all agree to that?
Yes.
That deserves one right there. So, I don't know. I think it's all about how they finish here and what it looks like. I don't know. I don't think Cutter's in some extreme danger, but you never know.
I hope they're keeping an open mind on Cutter. I hope they're keeping an
I'm
open
sure
mind.
They are. The fans would riot. I really believe this, Ira. Maybe you tell me if I'm totally wrong.
You're wrong.
Dying to hear what Lee said.
You just did a poll. He's at 50%.
No, not today.
He's a little bit above Trump. Come on now.
Not today. If Dirk Cutter closes this season somehow with this brutal schedule ahead, all winning teams.
And finishes
7-9.
He's back.
I believe the fan base would riot if they switched to Gruden. That's what I believe. You believe that?
Well, you're thinking that all they would think about at that point, Lee, is the second half of the season, and they dismissed the first half.
Yeah.
They shot themselves in the foot in the first half, and they were out of the playoff chase before Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
I'm going to say this, and I think it's a fair question, and you know I love Mike Smith as a person. I'm not saying he's a horrible coach, but he's not done a good job this year. And whenever I say something against his defense, I feel guilty because he's such a good guy. But like with Doug Martin, I like Doug Martin, but I got to separate the person from the production. And I think this is a fair question. And then after this, sometime in this podcast, I got some major juice and some spit-stirring drama for you. Wow. At any rate, with Mike Smith, I think it's fair to ask. Let's assume the Jets game was the turning point for his defense.
And they sustain it.
And right now it's a big assumption because they haven't done anything on the road.
Yes.
If that happens, I think it's a fair question the Glazers have to have with Cutter. Why is it taking him half a season to figure out his defense? Because both times you were digging yourself out of a hole where you could have been in a playoff win had the defense been halfway decent the first 2 months of the season.
The road defense has been atrocious.
Ooh.
Absolutely atrocious.
What, 32 points a game? 33?
Was not 33.
Yeah.
33 points and 15 at home. That's way too much of a disparity. Way too
big
much.
Time, yeah.
All right, what do you want? What do you want to quibble about?
You want the drama now?
Well, Lee's got his.
Lee's got juice.
Lee's got his extreme juice.
And I got a little locker room.
And this is going to get fans freaked out.
We need your locker room juice. So let's do your locker room juice first. We got plenty of time.
Okay.
And I guess the one thing you didn't answer, you were thinking something else. You don't think the fans, if this team finishes 7-9 and they get to watch the Buccaneers beat some really good teams, that there wouldn't be a riot if they fired Cutter after 7-9?
I do not.
All right.
There was actually a loud sect of fans that were upset when Lovie was fired.
I think they'd riot.
I think a larger section would say, why did it take you so long to play good football? Very much like the Mike Smith thing.
Okay.
Why were we out of the playoffs in October? Why?
All right,
you,
Sage.
You just proved we got a pretty good team. I think it might work against them in a crazy way.
You're out of your mind, Sage.
There
all right.
You go, baby. So you want locker room.
There you are around the locker room. I didn't spend a lot of time with you, Ira, but I did see you basically in the face, in the grill, way too close to Cameron Brate. That's all I saw.
That's my juice, Cameron
Brate. All right, I figured.
Now, look, Lee, it's no secret. You know, our listeners know we have our four or five go-to guys. I admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clinton McDonald. I'm looking for straight shooters. He's not there today. DeMar Dotson. He's not there today.
Yeah.
He's not there. Okay. I went up to Quan Alexander because you never know what he's going to say, and he's honest. He didn't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 0-3.
I was right there with you.
I'm one more, and I'm John Lynch. I'm 0-4 with the presentations. Then I see Cameron Brate. Good go-to man for me. A lot of times after a loss, that's who I go to first. Gives it to you straight. Well, he's just about dressed. He turns around. Kevin O'Donnell was there. He finished dressing. He turned around. He didn't even realize we were standing
behind. Sounds like you're talking about a rendezvous or something here.
Steve didn't even know that there was a little gathering group behind him. He turned around. Here we are, and then TV's there. And so they asked him his question, something about a limbo dance, how to celebrate.
Huh?
Yeah, they were asking something that he's worked out with Adam Humphries. That's something to keep in mind to celebrate a touchdown. There might be a little limbo dance coming up for our listeners. Anyway, I waited because I knew what I wanted to ask Brate. I waited 10 minutes. The TV left. The stragglers left.
Stragglers.
The Buck personnel.
Look at them writing down.
That were listening, which they do.
Yeah, they do.
They left.
That's their job. Oh, they left too.
And so Brate's now, he's getting ready to, put his elbow pad on, go out to practice. And I'm still there. And I go, Cam, I deliberately waited for everybody else to leave because I don't want to ask this in front of everybody, and put you on the spot. And I
now, this was on the record.
Yeah, this is on the record.
Okay.
And it's on tape. And I said, how important is it for this franchise to finish this season off in a positive manner in terms of saving jobs? Saving jobs. Saving jobs in this room. And we all looked around the locker room. And saving jobs in this building, in the upstairs suites. And Brate said, it's imperative. Now, first of all, who else but an Ivy Leaguer is going to use that word, imperative?
Not a football player.
Not a football player. He knew what I meant. He knew that, the implications are the rumors are swirling about your head coach, And without a big finish, it looks like you're not supporting your head coach. He says, we absolutely believe in what they're telling us. We've lost no faith. And he said, I think I speak for everybody in this room. And he mentioned Cutter specifically.
Mm.
Then I asked him, how did Cutter handle the 5-game losing streak personally? Did he change his demeanor? Was he mad? Was he frustrated at the players? Brate made it a point to say he never changed a bit.
Mm.
And that's what we were looking for. That's what we respect.
That's what we were looking for, key phrase.
So in that regard, Steve, my juice today out of this locker room is, and I said to Brate, I did ask him specifically, it's out there from some that he has lost this room. He has lost the players. He said that nothing can be further from the truth. That is nonsense. Don't believe that. Mm. Who's saying that? Well, I don't know who's saying it, so I didn't have any names to give them. But, Lee, you know that it has been out there.
Well,
especially
Conte
during
Doug,
the losing streak.
Conte and Doug Martin on the record both told me that guys were not worried about winning, guys weren't dialed in, guys weren't preparing properly. What's that tell you?
And you had Mike Smith and Cutter hinting that the effort was inconsistent.
More than hinting.
So there's my juice today is, from Cameron Brate's perspective, unless he's trying to put up a big front, and it was just me and him, no TV, he insists they still support this head coach, this coaching staff. And he said, and by the way, Ira, we're not out of this thing. We're not totally out of it. Well, of course, it would take, you know, winning streak.
And a couple collapses.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a 2% shot. but you have to feel that way
as
a player. So that's my juice, Steve, is he's got the support of Cameron Brate. Brate says he's talking for the rest of the guy.
All right, Ira, before we get to Lee's juice, let's all celebrate Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Head on over to edmorescadillactampa.com and edmorescadillacbrandon.com. And, of course, there are some offers you can see right at joebucksfan.com. Also, Ira, want to mention our not new sponsor of the podcast, but a pretty cool thing going on with joebucksfan.com, Buccaneers Photo Store at nfl.com. Go to joebucksfan.com. You'll see an ad for that. 25% off with your code JOEBUCKSFAN.
That's a big discount.
It is a big discount. I was actually surprised when that's what it came back with.
For your holiday shopping.
I knew they were going to do that with an offer. So pretty cool. NFL Photo Store is the Associated Press photos that in conjunction with the NFL, and they sell them. Fantastic gifts. They'll frame them for you, customize.
That's official.
That's official. Yeah, this is at NFL.com. So it's NFLPhotoStore.NFL.com. But catch the link at Joe Bucks Fan. You get 25% off. Some really cool stuff, really cool photos. If you know a Bucks fan, it's a really neat gift that you just really can't get anywhere else because it's official. So
you,
pretty cool there.
You said AP photos?
It's a partnership with AP and the NFL.
Now, the team photographer, the Bucks, is sensational.
Has nothing to do with the team.
Okay. Well, I was going to say the guy.
He's good.
He's excellent. That guy is incredible. He's the team photographer for the Bucks.
I should say, the best of my knowledge, nothing to do with the team. But, yeah, it's AP, and it's pretty cool. Let's get back to Lee's juice. I have no idea what he's going to say.
He may not have any idea what he's going
to
say.
Lee, what do you got?
Well, this is directed at Ira and his insight sources and who he talks to and who he breaks bread with.
My people of interest, Lee?
Your people of interest. This is going to get fans going nuts. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked that no one else has brought this up. And this is going to get people's minds whirling. It's going to get the conspiracy theorists going. It's going to get the Chucky crowd jumping off the bridges. It's going to drive people wild. Mr. Jason Light, the general manager. His contract's up, correct?
Yes.
We all know that. All right. You know his agent is speaking with Team Glazer. Trying to, hey, what's up? You want to bring him back? You know there's some back and forth there. Now, I know the guy's name. You're starting to smile. You know where I'm going. Jason Light's agent also represents who, Mr. Kaufman?
The man of the hour.
And that guy's name is?
Mr. John Gruden.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think by chance. And
they might as well name the agent, Robert Lamont, Bob Lamont.
Yeah, Lamont, you big dummy.
10 head coaches mm-hmm. and 10 general managers.
You don't think
he's a towering figure, okay, Mr. DeKemper.
Not Tom Brokaw, but towering nonetheless. Okay.
He's been doing this a long time, Lamont.
You don't think by chance, while he's talking to Team Glazer about Jason Light's contract, just happenstance that Gruden's name was somehow entered the conversation in some way, shape, or form.
And the Glazers know Bob Lamont very well because he represented Gruden the first time around. And they had to deal with him when they pried him out of Oakland.
And also, I'll throw this at you, which no one's talked about either. Is Chucky demanding full control? Is he demanding the handpicked general manager? Or does he just want to coach? What's going on there? You know, and there again, who does his agent represent as well?
Steve, I don't think it is a stretch to suggest that if Gruden isn't completely on board, and I said completely, on board with a potential general manager in a potential NFL city, he's not taking the job. It's a deal breaker. Gruden wants, if not full control, he wants to work with a guy that he's very comfortable with. It ain't going to be a guy Gruden's never met before. That would be a deal breaker.
Which screams Michael Lombardi.
It is very interesting, especially if you go back to Hard Knocks. You see Gruden on the sidelines at practice praising Jason Light for the immense amount of talent that's on the roster. Gruden was very public about the talent level of the Bucks. So, you know, maybe he likes light. Maybe somehow he was at an agent party that usually these agents throw an annual party and invite their people out there. Maybe they know each other that we don't even know
Do
about.
Do you think there's potential, gentlemen?
You lose what? That use that term loosely, right?
What is the potential? And I know your answer is going to be it depends what the Buck record is at that point, but could that be a very surreal evening, December 18th, with Gruden going into the Ring of Honor?
Beyond surreal.
And it's halftime of a game against Atlanta. The Bucks could be getting waxed at that point. Could have another situation where Brooks and Sapp don't want to look at the scoreboard. Oh. Just like, and I think it was against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it
last
was.
Year with the Lynch night. And here we go again. And now the Bucks are coming back on the field and Cutter's leading the way. And meanwhile, Gruden's finishing up his remarks, you know, at the 50-yard line. That could be one hell of an evening.
And the crowd's chanting Gruden.
Well, it's a wild night. It's a wild night potentially because it really comes down to if you have, pick a number, if you have 3,000 fans.
There's going to be a lot of fans at that game.
Steve wrote about that this summer.
Yeah, it's Monday Night Football. I mean, but even if you just have 3,000 or 4,000 of that massive group screaming, bring back John, or whatever they're chanting, or Gruden, you know, we want Gruden, or something like that. You know, it'll be interesting. But it really, like you said, when you open this, it really comes down to the record. Because if they're 6-7 entering that game, there's just not going to be screams for Dirk Cutter, given that they would have had to beat some darn good teams to get there. So we'll see. And, of course, Gruden, in my opinion, Ira, the guy's not being a class act. And I'm going to say this flat out.
Well, he's not saying anything.
You live in Tampa, John. You've embraced the organization. That two-way street you talked about, that's part on him, too. He's embraced the team here. Dirk Cutter opened up his office to you, opened up his team to you.
Great point.
And you know what? You're not out there publicly saying,
and a lot of coaches would not have done that. They would have been defensive about it. I can't let Gruden address my team.
Exactly.
So that's a feather in Cutter's
and
hat there.
Gruden's not out there now saying, you know what? Take me off your Buccaneers list. I love the Bucs. I'm not saying I would never coach the Bucs again, but take me off the list. Dirk Cutter's the man. I like Dirk Cutter. Gruden's not doing that. To me, it's classless. And it's what's more interesting than that game on Monday Night Football is when Gruden comes in here the Saturday before to have the production sit down with Cutter, and everybody's writing about him getting the job in 3 weeks, and he's looking across the thing at Cutter saying, Dirk, tell me about your this check down here, you know?
Lee, I think it's a very awkward time.
Perfect word.
For John Gruden. It's awkward.
Well, awkward for Cutter,
because
too.
Because one thing I do know about Gruden, he has professional respect for the game, for the league. He knows the history of football. He has a respect for coaches. As Steve says, you have a sitting coach here. You know, the Bucs haven't made a decision about Dirk Cutter. And, you know, I don't know how fair Steve's point is because
I think it's very fair.
Because suppose Gruden, in his own mind, has decided, hey, I think I'm leaning towards going back to the NFL sidelines next year. I don't know where it's going to be, but I think I'm coming back. You want him to say, I have no interest in the Bucs job? I mean, suppose things change.
Well, the class act would be Chuck and other coaches.
Right now, he's not saying a word about
Chuck.
It.
You should say, well, he's hinted at this, but he should come out and say, like, look, I see everybody and our brother claiming I'm going back to the Bucks. You have a coach, and until he's gone,
there's no vacancy in Tampa.
Thank you. Yeah. He won't say it. He hinted at it. It's like, well, I'm sensitive because coaches still have jobs. Well, come out and say it. No one's linking you to any other job outside the Bucks. Well, yeah, Tennessee University, Tennessee. But that's nonsense. Anybody with common sense knows that, but. The only NFL job he's being linked to, and it's all over the place, is the Bucks. Like Steve said, he should come out like, you have a coach. Dirk Cutter's a good coach. Unless there's an opening, this is nonsense.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if he really has class, or as you said, if he really has respect for other coaches, he would say that.
And Ira, I say that only because he lives in this town. I mean, and think of all the warmth.
Everywhere he goes.
All the warmth Cutter has shown him, which we saw some of that on Hard Knocks. And then they talked about how they spent an hour and a half together. I don't know. It's a dicey situation.
It's dicey.
For Gruden, it's dicey. But I still think he could text the Glazers with one hand saying, call me, Joel. and then the other hand say, hey, public, stop linking me with the Bucks. I don't like it. Dirk Cutter's a coach, and I support
because
him.
He's that far away, and I have my thumb and my index finger about an inch apart. He's that far away from becoming the next Nick Saban. You know, Nick Saban, I'm not going to Miami. I love it here at LSU.
Right.
And a couple years later, I'm not interested in Alabama. I love it at Miami.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about, it's going to take up about three more podcasts for us. and you talk about juice. If Gruden comes back to the NFL sidelines, mm-hmm. let's take it away from Tampa and make it more general. You know, is it going to work? Is it going to work?
That's a fair question.
Is it going to work? He's been away a long time. Yes. Who's his general manager?
That's a whole other podcast.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, that's a whole other way to look at it. One thing I'd like, can I give you a small homework assignment, Ira?
Oh,
yeah,
well, I haven't had that since college. Well, I almost flunked college calculus, and I was a damn good math student, Lee.
You're better
when
than
I got
me.
To college, I knew the x-axis, and I knew the y-axis. First day I go in college calculus, I'm sitting there, and the professor's at the blackboard and says, "And now, students, I will introduce the z-axis." I closed my book and said, "I'm getting the hell out of here." I couldn't understand one word the guy said after that. He's got cones. He's got cylinders up there. I don't have a very good visual sense. And now back to Mr. Ismer.
Well, I'll tell you, you got one. I have no shame in admitting this.
I liked algebra. That's all I liked.
If I had to pass an algebra class, I'd still be in college.
Oh, I love
algebra. I am terrible at math. Terrible. Proceed, well, Mr. Isbitz.
Let me hear your homework assignment, Stephen.
You're small. Well, maybe you could tell people, Ira, what a blackboard is. A lot of our younger
what a blackboard.
A lot of our younger readers, listeners.
Last week, you asked me to tell what a 45
was. Well, what's a blackboard?
And it wasn't a
Colt.
Because,
you know, the 25 and unders. A lot of them don't know what that is, Ira.
Well,
those things are gone the way they
bug you. Go watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something, and you'll see a blackboard or something from 1985.
Yeah, go watch a movie from the 80s, kid.
30 years ago.
Boy, you guys are making me feel old.
Well, I'm not that far from you, but I got to keep in mind our listening audience.
All right, well, a blackboard, also another word for a chalkboard, because the board was black, and that's what the teacher went up. It was called a blackboard.
The chalk was white, and the board was black.
There you go.
Long gone.
So I just thought that was important. Important.
Then when the teacher turns their back, the woman or the man, you know, you throw something at them, like the blackboard jungle.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the blackboard jungle?
You know, back in our day, I'm sure.
Now you're getting ancient history there.
Ancient history.
That's like, what, 1940s?
55,
okay.
And that was the movie that had Rock Around the Clock in it.
It
was the beginning of rock and roll over
there.
The
guy was a character actor. Well, I know we're getting off the beaten path, but some people like this. Who was the character
Glenn
actor? Glenn Ford, yeah.
See, you never know what's coming up on this podcast.
You never know. It's always an education. That was over my head. I had never heard of that, so I'll go look that up too. But blackboard, I figured I'd throw that
out. I've seen that movie before.
You want to talk about Jeff Sessions' testimony in front of the committee? What's next?
I'm just glad you didn't say testicles. I thought you were going there. All right. So, Ira, homework assignment. You know Joe Madden. You guys are close. You were out there.
I was out there to see him when you and I went out to Arizona.
I didn't drive you there, so you got there
that's
safely.
Right. You gave me the car that day.
And
he's preparing for this big Thanksmas thing.
Didn't he have one already?
He's a huge Bucks fan. That was part of your column. He knows the Bucks. He knows Jason Light very well.
Yes, he does.
I think a fantastic person to talk to about this Gruden rumors and what it's like to be a head coach and speculation and being a manager would be Joe Madden, to get some big worldly perspective on what where Cutter's at when people talking about his job to spot Gruden's in. I think that would be fantastic. So that's just me.
You know, that's a nice easy column if I can get Matt. And that's a nice little homework assignment.
There you go.
I got
there
an antidote for you. It's the Bucks
what
related.
What if I come back next week and say that my dog ate the homework? Is that going to be a problem?
You don't have to do
I got an antidote for
you. You got more juice?
Well, I don't know if it's juice, but it's a Bucks antidote that has a connection with Joe Madden. Jason Light was telling me one time.
Watson in this anecdote somehow?
Sadly, no.
All right.
I think I'm comfortable saying this. I don't think it's any dark secret that Jason told me. But
They're tight.
Yeah. And when the Cubs were in one of the playoffs, I think it was against the Cardinals, the year they won the World Series, and I'm getting acid reflux just thinking about that.
Right.
But the year they won the World Series, it was a phrase I thought I'd never say, when the Cubs win the World Series. At any rate, opening round of the playoffs, and Joe Madden left Light a couple tickets behind the plate. Light flew up there to watch the game. I don't know if he brought one of his sons.
Probably did.
At any rate, Light was sitting with family members, wives and girlfriends, wags of the players. I want to see if it was Jake Arrieta's girlfriend. I don't know. But the pitcher was getting lit up early. I mean, lit up, like batting practice. He said this guy's girlfriend/wife was just hysterical. as if she learned her mother was run over by a semi. Just hysteric, bawling, just going bananas.
That's a good impression over there, Steve. And what did Light try to calm her down? Or
well, he's a married man.
Buy her snow cone?
No, he's a married man, doesn't want to intrude.
All right, I understand.
As children.
Lee brought the juice today, Steve.
All right.
This has been one hell of a podcast. I might say that. I got to say that right now.
You don't get to review your own podcast, Ira, but anybody who does want a review, go to Podbean, iTunes, leave a review. It's very easy. Ira likes to see that. And just you haven't done it yet, do it, goddammit. All right.
wait a minute. We got to do our prediction.
Well, that's what we're doing right now. So Buccaneers.
Javier would get mad otherwise.
Buccaneers head to Miami. So Ira, you get to pick who goes first. We need to predict this game.
Lee's going
to
go first.
Lee's, you're up. Lee's
until proven otherwise, the Bucs defense on the road is hideous. You know, I was just talking to T.J. Ward today, and T.J. Ward said, this guy's still dangerous. He's still a gunslinger. Given that information, I say Dolphins 24, Bucks 13.
All right, I'll go second. I'll bat you third, Steve. I was wrong last week. I believe we all picked the Jets.
We did. Gangrene.
And we got to deal with the aftermath. But Miami's not any good. And the Jets weren't any good either. And Miami's not any good. They've lost six in a row on the road, Steve. I believe that's correct. They've looked very bad doing it. Going back to the last two games on the road last year, I didn't think the defense showed up. Four games this year. Miami's offense doesn't scare anybody. It's a pop gun offense. They don't even have a Jai. I think this is one the Bucs can get. Miami's in total disarray. I'm gonna go with the Bucs. 17-13 Bucs.
17-13 Bucs for the Sage. Take it to the bank, right, Ira? Should people be investing in this? I'm going to take the Bucs too, mostly for two reasons. One, since we are trying to pick the game, and I guess in some ways that's a gambling sort of thought, right? We're trying to pick a winner. I could never in my life pick the Dolphins, who've lost three in a row, looked bad doing it, and they're coming off a Monday night game. I mean, the Dolphins are a bad football team right now, really bad. The Bucs, I'm hoping that they're on a little bit of a roll here, and I think the defense will benefit from the little bit of confidence that you get sometimes when you play a pop gun crap offense, right? You get a couple of stops and you think you're better than you are because it's really just the other team. And all of a sudden they get a little confidence. And I think there are some good things happening. The linebackers played so damn well.
They did.
Played so darn well.
They showed what that trio can do.
Yes. That even just that trio playing that well and Brent Grimes back. And
doesn't mean they're going to get six sacks, Steve. Doesn't mean
No. But I think that the Bucs are going to take this game. Fitzpatrick also has played them before. And anyway, I'm going to go Bucs 21-14. So we'll hope that happens.
And you know, that would give them two in a row and a little bit of momentum, but the schedule gets a lot tougher.
Yeah, the schedule gets brutal after that. I think what's interesting is you look at Miami, and this is what scares me on the flip side. Miami, that's the highest paid defensive line in the NFL. A lot of talent there. Then they've played crappy and they got boat raced the other night, worse than the Bucs have this season against Carolina, which, I mean, gosh, it was an enjoyable game to watch just because it was.
And Carolina doesn't score a lot of points normally.
And not like that. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty wild stuff. But I believe there's probably some pride there with that defensive line. And do I think Doug Martin's going to run anything special, even though they just let up 300 yards on the ground? No, I don't. So I think it's all Fitzpatrick, and maybe he can do it.
Well, I got a good one for you, Ira. This is so ironic. It was on NFL radio. I heard Alex I can't remember who Alex Marvez was talking to. Might have been Gil Brandt, for all I know. But it was very recently. They were talking about Ndamukong Suh. And see if Bucs fans have heard this line of argument before. Alex Marvez went on and on about how the Dolphins can't get any help for Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, how can we relate to that here in Tampa?
Well,
right,
what was even better here, the argument is the Bucs can't get a defensive end. Well, the Dolphins have defensive ends. Yeah. Marvez's argument was he needs another tackle, a Roy Miller type.
Oh, my goodness. Now, come on. Sapp didn't have Merlin Olsen playing
I know.
Next to him.
He needs
Booger McFarlane.
Yeah.
That's who he had.
He needs a big body to take up space of two people. So
Steve,
that would be
I feel we can go another hour here, but I know, you know.
All right, Ira. Look, I'm not even going to. I would, if we had more time, I would say, hey, why don't you tell people who Merlin Olsen is? But
they should know that.
Go look it up. And Sage, we will see you on Tuesday. Get out of here. Go talk to your special high-tech
people of interest.
People of interest.